Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and frequent callers to our show will know that when you reach our screener, one of the first questions we ask is, are you driving? If the answer is yes, we ask you to please pull over. The Brian Lehrer Show has long not taken calls from people who are driving under the theory that it's one thing to talk to your wife or husband about bringing home a loaf of bread or a quart of milk. It's a whole other thing to talk about the passions that you deeply hold on the issues of the day on the air, on a radio show, when you're not a radio professional, while you are driving a motor vehicle. Well, it looks like major government organizations are starting to take their cues from your local radio host, because yesterday the National Transportation Safety Board recommended a full-on ban on all cell phone use by drivers, including hands-free. So, all right, maybe they came up with the idea independently. We'll grant them that. But the unanimous recommendation by the five-member board goes further than any law currently on the books. We are now joined by Marcel Just, professor of cognitive psychology at Carnegie Mellon University and an expert on cell phones, driving, and distraction. Professor Just, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. Glad to talk today.
And in just a minute, Deborah Hirschman, chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, will join us, too. What have you studied in this area?
We do brain imaging research. We study what happens inside your brain while you're trying to do two things at the same time. And in particular, we did a study with people using a driver's driving simulator while they were inside an MRI scanner. We measured their brain activity, the areas that were activated, how much they were activated, while they were just performing a driving task, guiding a car across along a winding road. And in another comparison condition, we had someone talking to them over earphones. And the dramatic result was that the brain activity normally allocated to driving was decreased by 37% when someone was talking to them. So that didn't involve dialing, nothing like that. Just listening to someone talk while you're driving decreases the brain resources allocated to the driving. And of course, it impacted the quality of their driving. They were weaving more in their lanes. They didn't maintain their lane as well. They would sometimes hit the side of the road and so on and so forth. So what this does is quantify how much use of a cell phone can degrade a driver's performance risks.
Very clear what your study was and what it found. Let me go to a caller, Lisa in Forest Hills. Hello, Lisa. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I wonder, and maybe the research that the gentleman has done might answer this, if it's generational, because I feel like I'm 45, and if I try to have a conversation while I'm driving, unless it's with someone physically in the car, it's very distracting. But I wonder if people who grew up talking on cell phones and can, I don't know, maybe their brains
process it differently.
It's
a great question. And let's put it first to the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, who joins us now, Deborah Hirschman. Chairman Hirschman, thank you so much for coming on a New York radio station for this. We really, really appreciate it.
I'm happy to be with you today. This is certainly a topic that has attracted a lot of attention.
And did you hear Lisa's question on generational differences?
Well, I did hear Lisa's questions, and I'd be very interested to hear the doctor's response. But one thing that I can tell you is there are generational differences, but what we see much more in our young people who have grown up with these devices, and unlike the older folks, me included, where we didn't get a cell phone until well into our working career, these younger people are getting these devices much earlier, even before they get a learner's permit, so they're very comfortable with them. But what they're doing much more than talking is texting or posting to Facebook or tweeting. And so the things that they are doing that are generational differences have to do with actually posting things.
And is that, you know, around the question of the hands-free? Because you can't text or tweet hands-free, or are they doing this with some kind of voice recognition software so they're not actually using their thumbs while they're driving a car?
Well, actually, you can do it both ways. Obviously, there's some manual and some manipulation that can go into it, but there are also apps out there. You know, my sister-in-law just told me last night that that the iPhone has an app where you can dictate an email message. And so what we're concerned about goes back to what the doctor was talking about in his research, is the cognitive distraction, how the brain is engaged, and not just the hands or the eyes. It's that you're focusing your attention away from the task at hand, and you're not really focusing on driving. And accidents develop and happen in the blink of an eye, and you've got to be paying attention all the time.
Yes, that friendly iPhone friend, Siri. So it's Siri versus the NTSB at this point. And Lucinda in Brooklyn has a question about comparability. Lucinda, hi.
Hi. You faded just as I got on, but perhaps you can hear me okay.
Yeah.
I feel that talking to a passenger is the same thing as talking on a cell phone when you are not holding it.
Lucinda, I'm going to leave it there, and it's a great question. Forgive me for cutting you short for time. But Lucinda definitely put her question on the table, Professor. Have you done brain research to see if talking to a passenger sitting next to you in a car in person has the same effect on your brain that distracts you from driving as talking to somebody on a hands-free phone that's mounted in your car?
I think that we haven't done the study, but listening to someone talk exacts a certain cost, regardless of whether they're sitting next to you or at the other end of a cell conversation. However, I think the cell conversation is slightly worse because a passenger can cooperate with you, can notice when the driving conditions are getting more demanding and maybe stop talking or not be surprised if you don't respond. So I think that whereas a cell conversation partner has no idea what's going on in the traffic, can keep on talking and can wait and can demand a response. So it can only be worse with a conversation.
And do you have a quick response to the previous caller on whether the brains are wired differently generation-wise for people who are, you know, natives to cell phones as opposed to adapted to them later in life?
I don't have that answer. However, the caller asked about age effects. And our study was with people in their very early 20s who are experienced drivers. So the situation can only get worse as you get older because cognitive capacity declines with age, starting at about age 20. And so the older you are, the worse it is to be using a cell phone while driving.
Let me go to another caller. Karen in South Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to talk to Chairman Hirschman. I'm so frustrated as a completely cognitively alert passenger here on our highways in New York State going up and down to the Adirondacks, seeing texting, having my Android in my hand, having all the geo-coordinates, all the information that could be captured. I'd be willing to give my name, my address, my Social Security number, and say, this person photographed here at such and such a time, date, weather, traffic conditions, whatever, is texting blatantly on the road. I'm a passenger. Can this kind of thing be enforceable? It's a kind of a citizen's arrest situation.
You feel so strongly about this. You want to participate in citizen's arrests.
Yes.
So, Chairman Hirschman, what about enforcing this no cell phone use under any circumstances law if, in fact, the 50 states take you up on it and enact such laws?
Well, we know we have great law enforcement professionals that have to enforce challenging laws, and I think certainly before they got good at identifying drunk driving or impaired driving, You know, people would say, well, how would you know? Well, you know, just like your caller is describing, there are people who are driving erratically. They're not maintaining speed with the traffic around them. They're not maintaining their lane. And really, you notice this when you are paying attention and they are not. They are oblivious sometimes to their surroundings. And, you know, from an investigative perspective, we say that they lack situational awareness. They can't see what's necessarily developing around them, their perception and their, you know, of the situation, their vision, what they're taking in and what they're processing is narrowing. And so this is a concern, but I think making sure that we have a mechanism for citizens to report, just like if you suspect someone's drunk driving, making sure that those types of things are reportable to law enforcement and they know how to handle those are important.
Derek in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Brian. Great show, great topic. As I informed your screener, I could not wait fast enough to get to my exit off of 684 to make this call. There's two things. Back in the day when we had CB radios in quite a few cars, or even ham radios now, would this qualify as far as being distraction, you know, where you actually have to key in on the mic? That's, you know, that's point number one. Point number two, the research professor implies that listening to talk radio, albeit the Brian Lehrer show, while driving is a distraction.
Derek, thank you. Those are both great questions. And Lee, I've used the CB radio. I know, you know, you had to pick up that thing and press the button as like a walkie-talkie while you were driving. So would those be relegated to history if they weren't already relegated to history? And what about, he says, listening to talk radio? Other callers are saying, oh, we would have to ban iPods and CD players because all of these things distract you.
Oh, are you asking me?
I'm asking Chairman Hirschman. Are you there?
Sure. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Distractions have been around since the Model T. We are always going to have distractions present in the vehicle, whether it's people eating or people looking at things on the side of the road or reading billboards. People are going to be distracted. Those are things that
how about
that
eating?
We have
I've heard somebody say, and I don't know if it's accurate, that there are more accidents caused by distracted driving from eating than distracted driving from talking on a phone.
Well, I think one of the things that's very difficult is after an accident occurs to actually pinpoint some of these things. The law enforcement officer that comes up on the side of the road, particularly when there are fatalities involved and the drivers don't survive, have a very difficult time attributing accidents to distraction, regardless of what they are. The reason why we are able to do it is we do very comprehensive, thorough investigations that take a long time. And as a matter of course, we put preservation orders on all records, on the cell phone records, too. And that's
so
how we find
these accidents. We're out of time in 10 seconds, but are you saying that eating while driving is not the moral or scientific equivalent of talking while driving?
I think there are a lot of distractions, but what we're seeing with personal and portable electronic devices is that they're becoming more prevalent, being more used, and people are being more distracted behind the wheel. And
NTSB Chair Deborah Hirschman, thank you so much for doing this. Professor Marcel Just from Princeton, thank you. From Carnegie Mellon, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.